Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I usually have the scripture reference on the screen for you, but I forgot to do that today. So if you go ahead, turn to your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read, excuse me, from verse 9. Okay. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. While you're turning there, just want to say hello and a welcome to Marta. Thank you for joining us today. It's always a privilege to meet a missionary, someone who's given their whole life to the service of God in a foreign country. And that's always a special thing. Make sure you say hello to her. She's staying with a friend of Pastor Hiroshi's, Pastor Kato, who is the pastor of Hiroshima Christ Church, I think. I can't remember the exact Hiroshima Gospel Church. Somewhere on the other side of this mountain, and a very close friend of Mitaki and Pastor Hiroshi. And I also want to welcome just our new Filipino worship band members. It's always good to see. I call them the PWB, the Filipino Worship Band, but plus Makiko. But so praise the Lord. And as is my custom, I like us to read the scriptures together. So let's read it out loud, verses 9 through 12. Let's read. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Amen. Just wanted to focus on the first verse there in verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Today we're speaking on the subject of the purpose of holiness, the purpose of holiness. Let me start with a story. Some of you know that I went to the Philippines for 2 weeks this summer. I visited Manila for a week and then I went down to Bicol, Naga, which is a little bit southeast of Manila. And while there, we did a homestay with my students and also we visited various missions while there. One of them in particular was the Missionaries of the Poor, which is a group of men who have dedicated their lives to caring for those that society has thrown away. So when we were driven to one of the poorest neighborhoods of the city of Naga, just houses became smaller and smaller, and chickens and dogs became more and more, and just really poor and dirty. And then we came to this big, long wall, and in the middle was a gate, and once we opened the gate, we were received into this compound of buildings, just a beautiful gardens, and really well taken care of and just completely different from just outside the wall. And this was one of the compounds which were run by the Missionaries of the Poor. In this particular one, they cared for the mentally retarded and the aged that families just did not want in their homes. So they took them in and would care for them. And what struck me was not how much love I felt in this place, and not how beautifully kept the grounds were, but by the age of the priests who were there, the priests of the Missionaries of the Poor. The one who was a kind of in charge or kind of managing the compound was a man who was about 27 years old, younger than me. And he just wore khaki pants and a light blue shirt, and the collar was just raggedy, really just raggedy. And you could tell, oh, he's a missionary to the poor. He really fits the description. But just a young but gentle young man, and just had a glow in his eyes that I just found, wow, that really struck me as something really wonderful. And I had to ask him how long he had been working there. He said, 7 years. And I said, oh, wow, so since you were 20. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. After that, we were then taken to the second compound run by the Missionary to the Poor. And it was a kind of yochien, kindergarten. And what they did was provide free child care and free preschool education to the families of that neighborhood. And they had a special program for us. And again, I was struck by three of the priests. The head priest who was kind of leading the yochien was like 26 years old. And there were two other ones who were kind of attendants, and they were 20 and 21. And during the program, there was a time where I was able just to sit down with the three of them. I really wanted to hear their story. I mean, how could they, at such a young age, decide to do this work? And so I sat down with the head guy, and I said, you know, what made you decide to become a missionary of the poor? And he said, well, I was 17 years old. There was a time in his life where he had to make a decision. He was at a crossroads in his life, and he had his ambition, his desire to do what he wanted to do, and he had a kind of way ready for him. And also, at that time, there was another way made ready for him, and he knew it was God's way for him. And so he had a choice to make, even at 17, whether to go his own way, to live for his own purpose, or to live for the purpose that he thought God was calling him to. And he chose that way, the purpose for which God had made him. And that's why he was in this place. And I was just really amazed, just humbled, by looking at this young man who gave his life for these children that society just doesn't want, and to care for the poor. So much respect to the missionaries of the poor. But as I was preparing this message, I was reminded of that instance, and I thought, really, that is the essence of the meaning of holiness. When you look at holiness and you consider it deeply, it is to live your life for the purpose of God. That is the purpose. That is what holiness is. To set aside your way, to set aside the thing that you want to do in your life, and to say, no, not my way, but God's way. Not my purpose, but God's purpose. And so I wanted to just briefly look at this today. What is the purpose of holiness? And wanted to consider a few scriptures. One in Jeremiah, God told him in the beginning of his ministry, the prophet Jeremiah. He said, look, Jeremiah, before I even formed you, in the womb, I knew you. Long before you existed, I knew, and I had a plan just for you. And he was speaking that to Jeremiah. And I had set you apart, set you apart. We all know, well, not all of us, but we know, we understand that holiness finds its root meaning in that phrase, to be set apart, to be different, to be not normal. I'll break that down a little bit later. Later on, he tells Israel, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. A plan you didn't make. A purpose you did not decide on your own. It's a purpose and a plan that I have set for you. And I think God is saying to each one of us through the prophet Jeremiah, before you even were made, I had you in my mind. And I thought of you and I thought, this is what I want you to be. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. This is the purpose that I want your life to have. God has that for each one of us, I believe. And he's set that apart for each one of us. Even in Psalms, David confesses, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God had a purpose set apart just for each one of us. And I want us to consider that when we think about holiness and what it means. Holiness, as we find in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is the word kadesa, and basically it does mean set apart, not normal. We have everyday things that we have, that we do, but then there are the not normal things, the set apart things. God himself is holy. He is wholly set apart from his creation. He is different. He is other. Also, holy in the Old Testament means basically related to God. Although it is different, there is a connection with God. And so when something that is normal becomes associated or connected to the purpose of God, it becomes holy. You take a bowl, and it's just a normal bowl, but you put it in the tabernacle and you set it aside from the other bowls for the purpose of the use of the tabernacle, or for the purpose of God. It becomes holy. And it's set apart. So objects, whether it's a bowl, sprinkling bowl, a lampstand, or it's a people as a priest, or the people that God chose, Israel, if it's set apart, it's objects and people that were set apart to be used for the purposes of God. It's not just so that they can be holy. Not just so that they can be different. Many of us have this misconception that holiness is cleanliness. Holiness is purity. Even in Japanese, there is the word kiyoi. Unfortunately, in Japanese, kiyoi has two kanji. There's one kanji, kiyoi, which means clean, kirei, right? And when people hear kiyoi, they mistakenly consider holy means that kanji. But there's a different Chinese character, hijiri. And it means set apart. It means related to God. So for those of you who are studying for the Japanese kente, keep that in mind. It's not going to come up on the test. I know that, but still, it's good to know that it doesn't mean clean, but it means related to God. But not just related to God. It means related to God for its purpose, to be used of God, not just to be set on a pedestal, to be looked at. But no. For God to put his hand on it and to serve people with it, to lift up others with it, to do something with it. That's what God has in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have the word hagios, and it builds on the understanding that's in the Old Testament, that it's not just holy and set apart, but it's also the idea of being sanctified. We have the word saints, and that's the same word. We have the word sanctification in the New Testament. It appears almost 300 times there. And basically, it's conveying this idea of preparation. Sanctification is preparation. Preparation for what? Preparation for what Jesus has made us for, and that is heaven. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Jesus has a place prepared for us, and that is our hope, our living hope. But we just can't go there right now. Because if we did, we'd just burn up. But he has to prepare us. He has to sanctify us. He has to put us through a process of getting us ready for heaven. And so we go through the fire now. We go through our suffering now. We go through our difficulties now. And in that, God is shaping us and molding us and burning away those things he doesn't need so that we're ready for heaven. Paul says, I think in Romans, he says, we have sufferings, but the sufferings are there so that we can produce perseverance. And then that perseverance doesn't end there. The perseverance produces us character. But God doesn't just want us to have character. The end is not character, the end is hope. So it's suffering, and then it's perseverance, and then it's character. And in the character, we have hope. And in hope, we are not disappointed, because God is pouring out his love into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. So the purpose of all of that is to prepare us for that living hope that we have. Holiness is being prepared for what God has us to do. And the point of this sermon really is very simple, and that is holiness is more than being clean, more than being sinless, more than going throughout the week saying, okay, God, I didn't sin that much this week, so I think I'm okay. I'm living a holy life. No. It's saying, God, okay, I'm dedicating something to you. I'm giving this to you. And yes, part of it is being clean. God is not going to use a dirty thing. Okay. He's not going to use a dirty spoon to feed his babies. But he's going to clean it up. So it's part of it is being clean. But there's a purpose in being clean. And that's the purpose of holiness. This is all I want to say today. Living the purpose of holiness. Living for the purpose that God has made us. That is what holiness is. And so if we look at that, well, what's the opposite of holiness? Is it, some of us think, well, if holiness is cleanliness, purity, it must mean impurity. And I want to submit to you today that that is not the opposite of holiness. The opposite of holiness is selfishness. Because if holiness is God-centered, living for God's purpose, then being self-centered and living for my own purpose is the opposite of that. The holy life is a life living for God. That's it, pure and simple. It is serving the people God sent us. Holiness is serving the people God sent to us. And where do I get that? If you look at Jesus himself, who lived the most holy life that we know in the scriptures, he said it in John 17, in the prayer, we call it the priestly prayer of Jesus. He's just about to go to the cross, and he's finally praying on our behalf. I think he prayed on our behalf, on the behalf of his people throughout his ministry, but this time he let himself be heard for our benefit. And in John 17, John records Jesus' words, sanctify them by the truth. There's that word hagiozai, hagios, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. God makes us holy through his word. The word is Jesus Christ. the Word is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them through me, Lord. That's what Jesus was praying. And Jesus says this, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. We have a chiastic structure there. We have the word sanctify at the beginning and sanctify at the end. And what does that mean? There's a point in the middle that God wants us to get. And what is that? He sent us. God sent us. Holiness is being sent. Holiness is being sent to people. Holiness is having people sent to us, just like Jesus, who was sent into this world to serve people, to love them, to lift up the needy, to hold the untouchable. He was sent, and people were sent to him on mats, on shoulders. People were sent to him in chains and being tugged. And he touched them. He said, bring them to me. Don't deny the children to me. Come on, bring him. Bring it. Because that's what God brought me here for. That's what holiness is, I think Jesus is saying there. What does that mean? Fathers, husbands, you are sent to your wives to serve them and to love them. Fathers, you're sent to your children. Your children are sent to you for you to be a man for your children and for your wife. Not for you to order them around and not for you to be a leader that doesn't do anything but sit on the couch. But for you to say, I'm going to pray for you every day as my job. I'm going to lift you up and cover you in prayer as your husband and as your father. That's what holiness is, because God sent you that woman and God sent you those children and he sent you to them. Workers, office workers, God sent you to your office for you to serve your people, the ones you sit right next to. Oh, I know they rub you the wrong way. I know they speak to you the wrong way. They talk down to you and they pile on the work right on top of your desk. And it's very hard. I know. I sit in that same position myself. But holiness is saying, yes, come on, bring the work. Bring it. Holiness is saying, yes, I know we rub each other the wrong way, but I'm going to serve you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to think the best of you. That's holiness. We come to church, and it's hard for me because I want you to know I pray for you every day. I do. That's my job. I know it. And I lift you up every day. And God's been just, I just want to share something with you. God's been impressing on me, Chris, I want you to pray for more love in this church. Because we come to church and we want to show how holy we are. We want to show how spiritual we are. I know you lead Bible studies. You do the worship thing, and I know you're in your Bible more than I am. I know you're listening to the scriptures online, and I know you're in you got your big Bible, and you got your highlights in it and everything. You're holy. I know. I understand. You're righteous people. But God is saying, Chris, pray that we really truly love each other, and we have this love, the spirit of affection growing for each other. Because that is holiness. When we start setting down our Bible so that we can pick each other up and really start caring for each other's needs, giving for each other. And this is hard for me because God convicted me. I know. I look at myself and I am one of the most selfish people that I know. And I see it. when a need comes up, the first thing I think about is, well, what's my need? How much can I save? What's the cost of this for me? And it hurts me because God is saying, that's exactly what you need to get rid of. That's not holiness. And so I'm praying for myself and for us as a body of believers, small as we are, to start really loving each other. And many of you are much more giving and selfless than I am. And my aspiration is to become more like those of you. But Lord, bind us together in love. Lord, increase the spirit of true affection for each other in this church. That's my prayer for us every day. Every day. I really do pray for that. Because that is the purpose of holiness. So that's simply my message for us today, and I hope we're fed by it. I want to encourage you to reflect on those whom God has sent to you and on those whom God is sending you to. And God, if I really want to be holy, and God, if I want to obey your command, I don't just want to be clean and pure and sinless and blameless, but I want to be a holy nation. I want to be a person that serves your purpose. Lord, help me to do that. That's what I hope our prayer is for today and this week. Amen. I'd like to ask the worship team to come on back up to prepare us for our closing song. And I'd like to ask you to bow your heads in prayer with me. Take a moment to consider holiness more than purity and blamelessness. I just take a moment to consider God's purpose in your life. Surrender your will to His. Surrender your way to His. Give your job to Him. Give your family to the Lord. Lord, I do pray that we would become a holy people, truly devoted to one another in love. Lord, I do come before you in humility, knowing that I am a selfish man. And Lord, for those of us who are more selfish than we ought, we confess it to you and we ask for you to wash it away, God, to burn it away, to melt it away, to wipe it away, God, that we would be a holy people. Father, I pray for those whom you have sent to us and for those whom we are sent to. Lord, that we would be holy in serving them and providing for their needs as you provide for our needs. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.